Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. Today we're looking at the action in Thurles, a national hunt card where the feature race is at 110. It's a listed chase over 2.25 miles. Plenty of big fields there as well today and plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line, as always, is William Hill's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm very well, thank you, Mark.
Good. What do you make of Thurles this afternoon then, Andy?
Glad it's got the go-ahead for a start. At least we've got some racing today.
Yeah.
Sure to be testing, as ever. Nice little race, that listed race, a 110. You can give all four a chance there. Some competitive handicaps along the way, 5-6-1 the field races, but sandwiched in between some fairly mundane stuff. But doesn't mean to say that we haven't got a decent couple of bets on the card.
Okay, let's get stuck into them and let's find out what bets you're going to put up today. The first race is the 12:35. We start with an EBF maiden hurdle over 2 miles. And the two at the top of the betting have been supported this morning. Kerry on Vic, 15-8 into 7-4. And Desert Moor Stream is 3-1 into 9-4. It's then 7-1 for the pounds. Wild Blueberry is 9-1 and 11-1. Barring those four, do you see it between the front two here, Andy?
Yeah, it looks that way, doesn't it? They've shown a fair amount of ability, both of the front two in the market, Desert Moor Stream and Kerry on Vic. Kerry on Vic, more recently over hurdles, of course, as little as just about a week ago, when finishing a good second behind Captain of the Fleet. He couldn't contain with Captain of the Fleet later on. That horse is quite a decent horse when he's in front and he's on a bit of a roll, as he's proven many times on the flat and over hurdles respectively. And I thought Charles Burns' charge actually came out of the race with a good deal of credit. The fact that he was nicely back suggested that they fancied him on that occasion. But it was a combination of first run for quite a while, probably not seen out the 2 mile five trip on really bad ground at Limerick, which obviously caused him not to quite contend with the winner in the latter stages. But he's sure to be better for the run. And with his experience over hurdles already assured, I'd probably just favour Kerry on Vic here over his main market rival, Desert Moor Stream, who's yet to see a hurdle in public course form, a point-to-point winner, so jumping obstacles shouldn't necessarily cause a concern for this fella. He got well beaten the other day at Navan in a bumper, but to be fair, the horses that fought out the finish that day, Royal Caviar and Fine Rightly, are two very useful novices. Obviously, Willie Mullins trained the winner, who was at prohibitive odds, and Stuart Crawford's horse, who finished second, has subsequently won a hurdle race at Ayr the other day, albeit in workman life fashion when he was a big odds-on chance. This horse in the first-time hood got readily outpaced by those two, but kept on quite willingly late on to finish himself well clear of the rest. He's useful, but whether he's quite good enough to contend with that Kerry on Vic is obviously a mute point. And I'd go with the Charles Burns charges. I'll go with the Charles Burns runner here, just ahead of his main market rival.
Okay, then Kerry on Vic in the opener there for Andy. On to the second race, which is the feature race. It's at 110. This is the Thurles Racecourse Supporters Club Chase, a listed race over 2.25 miles. As Andy's already said, you could probably state a case for all four of these. But interesting betting this morning. Rupert Lamb opened up at 6-4, has been backed into 5-4. Tona Dudari going the other way, 7-4, out to 2-1. Make a Track, a bit of a nibble on that as well. 3s into 5-2, and then Letter of Credit, Friendless, out to 14-1 from 10s. So the betting this morning, Andy, is suggesting that Rupert Lamb is the one they want to be with.
Yeah, I do like Rupert Lamb. He goes a good gallop. He's an honest type. And he's pretty good in small fields. You have a look at his last three or four wins. They've all been in fields less than 10. When he's allowed to sort of make all dominate and bully up the opposition, that's when he's at his best. And he did exactly that on his first run of the season at Nace, one of his favourite tracks. He does like going left-handed predominantly. And I'm pretty sure that he'll try and do exactly the same here again today. The ground won't be an issue for this fellow. He's won a couple of times on heavy ground and he jumps particularly well. So he's sure to set a good standard at the front of the field for the rest to catch. And now in behind him are going to be the two Giggingstown stud horses, Make a Track and Tona Dudari, looking to take advantage of any mishaps from the favourite or if he's under par. Of the two, I'd slightly prefer Make a Track, who pulverised his opposition the other day down in Limerick to win that very competitive 2 mile 3 furlong handicap. It was a very valuable prize. And carrying top weight, this horse was always in command coming out of the back of the back straight. And even though he had a persistent challenge in the shape of immediate response, once that fella fell at the second last, then it was all plain sailing for this horse. Now, he beat a horse called Castle Wings by 15 lengths in the end. Now, Castle Wings, albeit, was lucky to win the other day, courtesy of one of William Mullins's falling at the second last. He still recorded a victory nonetheless. So the form doesn't look too bad. He does go really well round here, make a track. Previously to that win at Limerick, he'd won here last year in pretty decisive fashion. He did get beat by a letter of credit on the 28th of November, but that was probably due to the ground being on the quick side for Charlie Swan's charge. With his yard in good form, and his ability to handle heavy ground, and he handles the track, I'd probably go and make a track at the prices here at 5-2. To cause just a mini shock here and beat Rupert Lamb in that listed race.
Okay, make a track then to win the 110. The 140 is the third race. This is a handicap chase for horses rated 0 to 102. It's over 3 miles. And the top weight is at the top of the betting. Dominetta Vitali is 11-2 at the top of the betting. A couple of decent seconds in beginners and novice events. Steps into handicap company for the first time here, Andy. Although on this ground, is it going to be easy to defy top weight?
It won't be, no. I'd probably pass her aside here, even though that she's quite strong in the market. Funny enough, the horse that was withdrawn this morning would have been my bet here. It was called Cherry Antor, who would have been putting around about a 10 or 12 to 1 chance. I think that horse comes out of a good race of the day down in Leopardstown, but that's for another day. As I said, Dometi Vitali has got some consistent form of late, but largely on fastest ground. A bit of a summer jumping horse specialist, this animal. Second to Raja at Kilbegan on its last start for fences. And then went to Kelso on the 8th of December and ran respectively behind one of Donna McCain's horse called Tom Vidosa. That wasn't a bad run at all, but this is a totally different ball game here. Back over fences, in a handicap, and racing on genuinely heavy ground. I'm not sure whether she can cope with all those things that is going to be thrown at her. So I'll probably pass her over, and I'll go for the course specialist here, or certainly a horse that runs his track better than most, another mare in this race, 12-year-old. Called Robertstown Rover, who's run quite a few good races here at this track. She's an infrequent winner, I do take that on board, and she has one or two non-completions in the last four or five starts. But give her thoroughly some soft ground, as she proved last time out when she was third to Sterling Stuff. She's fairly useful, and I think the form of that race is quite good, because Sterling Stuff is a short prize favourite to win over hurdles later on in the card. So hopefully Robertstown Rover will pay a huge compliment to that runner later on. Should, in theory, finish ahead of Code Dancer, Mr. BB, and Carrageen Carriga, who were well beaten on that occasion. And at 10-12-1 this morning, actually 11-1 with William Hill, as I'm looking at the odds checker screen, I think she probably represents one of the best each-way value bets in the race.
Okay, Robertstown Rover each way then. Just a note there as well, Robertstown Rover, possible overweight of £2 in that race as well. So Sean Flanagan, maybe £2 heavier than he should
if
be.
If it ever gets beat a short hair, that's it. It was that £2, pesky £2 that did it.
We'll be looking for Sean Flanagan.
That's it.
Right on to the 2:15. We're into a maiden hurdle for this one. It's over 2¾ miles. And we have an odds-on favourite at the top of the betting in the shape of Urano. It might be competitive in numbers, but 4-5 for the Willie Mullins runner. And he's hit the crossbar on so many occasions, Andy, and then slipped up last time when travelling pretty well. Is he going to get his head in front? Is 4-5 just too short?
Yeah, well, you couldn't make it up, could you, last time? he'd got a whole host of placed efforts in behind him, and you think, oh, do we want to take a short price about him? Is he trustworthy? And then, lo and behold, he looked like he was going to come and win, and he clipped the heels of a horse when about to challenge him between the second last and the last, and down he went, much to the demise of the ones that kept faith with this horse, who prior to that obviously been a bit frustrating. But at least it told us that A, he likes the track, and B, that he's probably better now over 2.6 miles. That certainly was the evidence the other day. He seemed to be travelling like the best horse in the race until that untimely incident happened on the approach to the last. And if he would have won that race, we would have obviously been quite a sort of campaign to forgive this horse. So on the evidence of that, you'd have to say Urano is very much the one to beat here. I think Ruby Walsh would probably ride him very similarly to what he did the other day. Track the pace, not get involved in the early skirmishes, give him a chance to get the trip. I think that's what they're obviously looking to do the other day. And really, in all intents and purposes, he hasn't got a fat lot to beat here. You know, you look at the main market rivals behind him. Sizing Cole ran reasonably well the other day on good ground down in Down Royal. But he's still an unknown quantity, so I don't really know how to rate him. He's quite a difficult one to assess. Fair Funny ran reasonably well down in Limerick the other day, but again, another horse that probably hasn't got a massive amount of scope or improvement attached to it. I've tipped that horse a couple of times on the podcast, and although she's run quite well, she hasn't really left me with a great deal of enthusiasm going forward. So really, this is a Rhino's to lose. Whether he's the kind of bet that I'd have at 4-5 is open to debate, but there's plenty out there that would, and if you like, I wouldn't really put you off if that's the way your way of thinking.
Okay, Your Honour, then the one to beat in the 215 onto the 245. This is race 5 on the card, and whilst it's high in numbers, we have 18 of them in the lineup. There's one clear favourite that's much shorter than the rest. Sterling Stuff is 2-1 at the top of the betting. It's then 7-1 for the next one in the betting, which is Bothair Cly. Pronunciation may be incorrect, but you'll know which horse I mean. Olar has attracted a little bit of money, 10s into 7s, and there's a few at bigger prices as well that have been fairly popular. Miss Island 10s into 9s, Kazani 18s into 14s as well. So there's been a few at bigger odds that people are probably trying to find each way value, Andy, but Sterling Stuff, very much a clear favourite.
Yeah, I'm going to be my nap of the day as well, Sterling Stuff. One thing is for sure that Robert Tyner's got his horse in good nick as well. He had a really good Christmas period, and going into the festive break, Sterling Stuff had indicated this yard was in good nick by winning here over fences over 3 miles in pretty impressive fashion. He was well back throughout the morning. I remember this horse with pretty unimpressive form figures being a bit of a head-scratcher to me when I did the podcast that day at Thurles. I thought, there's something about this horse that I don't know, because previously he hadn't really shown too much. But Connection's got it absolutely spot on. He travelled really well, he jumped well, and he always looked in command in that race. And he beat a horse called Miss Palm pretty readily in the end. And that horse had gone into the race in really good form as well. I actually wrote down on my sheet very readily with the comments I put. So it's not a great surprise that this horse is such a short price to win this race. No racing off the same mark over hurdles. If he handles the return to the smaller obstacles, I think he'll probably win this race and win it quite comfortably. He certainly looked as though he's in the form of his life the other day, and it's difficult to make too many strong cases out against him. Yes, there are horses that could improve over the trip, and now they're in handicaps. The two horses have been back this morning. Olor falling into that category. Of course, this horse has yet to contest a race beyond 2 miles, so there's a chance that horse might improve significantly stepping up to 2 mile 6, and of course he's a former point-to-point winner, so that would tie in with that theory. And Miss Island as well, another horse that's been nibbled out in the market. This horse ran quite well here the last day over 2 miles in a handicap in a main hurdle run by the Cookie Jar, doing all its best work at the end. Again, another one that might improve for a step up in trip. So you can half see the reasoning behind those two being backed from an each way stance. But I'm very much with Robert Tyner's 7-year-old Sterling Stuff. I love the way he won here last time out. He seemed as though he got plenty more to give. And this looks, I won't say a formality, but this looks he's to lose.
Okay. The sixth race and penultimate race this afternoon is the 3:15. This is a handicap hurdle for horses rated 80 to 95, and it's over 2 miles. And two horses battling for favouritism. Gold Not Silver is 100 to 30, and Lud's Denen is 4 to 1. Those two both finished second last time, and that's probably the best pieces of form into this, because beyond those two, there's not really much on offer, is there, Andy?
No, there isn't. That's exactly the reason why bookmakers have taken evasive action, if you like, with these two, or taken no chances. At least they're coming in reasonable nick, whereas a lot of the others have got form way in the dim and distant past. Gold Not Silver went quite well the other day in a race won by De Chisler, who finished third the other day, trying to defy a penalty. So you could say the form has taken a little bit of a hit. But yeah, should run okay, goes on the ground, travelled okay, but just didn't quite have the stamina of the winner on that bad ground down in Limerick. Definite chance, again, not gold, not silver. Lud's Denen just doesn't win often enough for me to be involved at 4-1. Yes, it was a reasonable run last time out behind a well-handicapped horse of Charlie Swan's called Wall Flight, but you look at its career victory, 1-36, and hasn't won for the best part of getting them for 3 years, so... Again, just very unpersuasive claims, if you like. The one I'm going to go with here is the horse called the 2Js, who has got a heavy ground win to his name over 2 miles at Sligo. That was 3 starts ago. That was back in the spring of last year. Probably needed the run the other day when making a bit of a comeback after a 6-month layoff. It was the race that Kickstart really threw away down in Fairy House on the 20th of November. Mickey Butler's charge, jumped the last in front and decided to totally throw it away and dodge his head off on the running, and allowed Might Be Magic to re-rally on the running and get back in the closing stages. Back in six was the two J's, my selection, who I thought ran quite encouragingly under a tender ride back in midfield, but did some good work on the running. Hopefully he'll be better for the run. Ground will suit him. Jody McGarvey's been booked, and from an each-way point of view, around about 9-10-1 this morning, I thought the two J's was worthy of a bit of an each-way interest.
Okay, then the two J's, a bit of an each-way slant on the 3:15 then. And the final race is the 3:45. We finish with a mare's bumper over 2 miles. And as always in bumpers, the market usually quite informative. And we have a popular favourite this morning in the shape of Cloudy Rock. Opened up at 7-4. That was too big. So was 6-4. It's now 11-8 at the top of the betting. Second in is Be Lucky Again, who's 11-4. And then it's 7-1 barring those two. So the market's screaming in the favour of the Sean O'Brien runner.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. Obviously, she was hugely impressive the other day down in Kinsale, winning that Mayor's Open, beating a subsequent win in the shape of Kilron and High, who's won since. And all the dogs have been barking about the Sean O'Brien horse this morning, well backed throughout the course in the build-up to the race. And, you know, should take a good deal of beating here. Clearly, stamina, this horse's key suit, made all the running, no question. Obviously, well backed as well, 6-4, they knew what they got. And never looked like getting beat, to be fair. And comes from a yard who's had a good run of things of late as well. A couple of horses who've flown the flag for this yard. Gorton, the Keocht, and Cayman's Delight have been running quite well in their respective races. And, of course, last year, Sean O'Brien introduced a really good bumper horse, a horse called Gone and Tiller, Golan Tiller, who made his winning debut down in Cork. And obviously was enough to then get it transferred to another stable. Finished third in the champion bumper behind Brer Hill. So Sean O'Brien definitely knows what he's doing when he's got a good bumper horse in his hands. In fact, if this horse wins today, you might get a few people throwing the checkbooks around in the direction of Cloudy Rock. But hopefully she'll at least do enough to win a race like this. Be Lucky Again, the second favourite. I've got a little bit concerned about the ground for this mare. She finished second last time at Beyonce as well at Listowel, but that looked as either about as bad as the ground as she wanted to race on, and heavy ground might be a bit of a concern for her, where it won't be for the favourite. So Cloudy Rock should hopefully justify favouritism in the last.
Okay, Cloudy Rock in the last. And as always, Andy, let's have a quick summary of your selections, if you'll spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, hopefully we can plot our way through the card today and nick a few quid. Kerry and Vic in the first for Charles Burns in the 1:10. Quite strong on Make a Track there, who goes well at the track and comes off the back of a good win the other day down in Limerick. Robertstown Rover to go well again at his favourite track in the 1:40. Urano hopefully will keep out of trouble in the 2:15 this time, which will allow him surely to be good enough to take that event. Manap of the day, Sterling Stuff in the 2:45. Love the way he won here the last day. Hopefully he can follow up that victory. The two J's each way in the 3:15 looks a fair bet around about the 10-1 mark. And all the money in the direction of Cloudy Rock should be justified in the concluding bumper.
Okay, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck at Thurles this afternoon, and we'll speak to you again later on in the week.
Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.